Hi, this is Growing Up Aspen with Andy Collin and Chris Pomeroy, and today we're here interviewing Adam Kane, who I was yearbook photographer all the way to Hollywood cinematographer, producer, director. He's done a lot of films, Boondock Saints, he's worked on American Gods, the TV show, and he's here with us today. So yeah, here is Adam Kane.
Going back to what we were talking about a second ago, my question is for both of you, really, is do you think it's a generational thing, which I think part of it is, or do you think it's possibly because it was not that uncommon to, I don't know, say ride the chairlift with Jack Nicholson or one of the Kennedys, or you bump into the Trumps or whatever up in Aspen, and to me, that makes the world so much smaller, you know, that there's this person standing there that everybody looks at as though they're some sort of god or whatever, but they're buying feminine hygiene products for their girlfriend, you know. It's like, well, that just brings it down. And to me, that I've always looked at the world differently, that I'll see somebody and I'll strike up a conversation with them. And then come to find out at the end of the conversation that was, you know, a famous basketball player or something. And I'll be like, oh, that's cool. I don't even really think about it, you know.
Probably what a little bit, I imagine, Chris. I lived in the West End in Aspen, and I lived down the street from John Denver and George Hamilton.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'd see Annie Denver all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a bit of that. Certainly me, with the career that I eventually grew into, all the careers that I grew into involved being around celebrities. So,
yeah.
You know, I kind of have that view that you mentioned, which is like, well, you know, Tom Cruise still has to like go to the bathroom in the morning after his coffee, just like I
right.
do. You know, it's like people still need sleep. People still get irritated. People go through divorces. People have bad days. It doesn't matter that they are visible in public eye. They're still people.
But here's the thing, growing up in this situation, because I do Comic-Con and we have a booth and we have a lot of famous people come and sign and all that kind of stuff at our booth. Stan Lee was there. Well, I think the last time he signed at San Diego was at our booth. But growing up in Aspen, the way we did around those people we did, you tend to treat them as just a normal person, which they never really get. Everybody in their life, it's all, oh,
exactly.
You're so-and-so, oh, you're so-and-so. And when you drop that level and you become just a regular person, work as a side-by-side type of person, just a human, I think I find at Comic-Con, there's a kind of a bonding that happens where they like to hang out with me because I treat them as just a normal person that's in the industry that I'm in. We're both into the similar things, you know what I mean? And so we have a kindred spirit as opposed to, oh, you're a famous person, you know? You're a director, so that's a little different. A lot of people want to work with you. You know what I mean?
But do you think, Adam, that that's played into the success in your career, though, and being able to just treat folks as being people?
Just trying to find the right words for this, but I think that it definitely relaxes the atmosphere a lot faster. When people who are celebrities and visible need to have a certain level of trust in the people they're working with so that they can relax and do their best work, because their jobs as actors is multifold, but at the most core part of that creative journey is to be willing to access any kind of emotional place that they need to when they're in front of the camera. If you don't, If you're looking sideways out of your eye at the cinematographer because you don't trust that they're going to provide you with that safety on the set, then they're not going to maybe go to that place in their nervous system.
Right.
So I that's a long way of saying, yeah, I think that is a part of it. I mean, I certainly remember being at, I think it was the Great Divide, the music store, and seeing Jimmy Buffett. Talking to him there. And just the friendliest guy on the planet. And I wasn't asking for his autograph. You know, I was, I think I was like quizzing him about how he wrote a song.
Yeah.
You know,
it was probably more of that, which, you know, musicians love to talk about music.
Right.
Actors like to talk about acting.
Right.
Yeah.
Filmmakers like to talk about filmmaking.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's the stuff where they start to realize, oh, okay, like I'm not, this person's not a stalker. They're not going to harass me. Oh, can you listen to my tape? You know,
right.
I wrote a song,
right.
You know,
right.
Whatever. It's like, because that's where they get cagey.
Right.
Is when you want something. But if you're just there doing a job with them and then you become partners. And I think that there was a part of the Aspen experience that that played into that. Part of it's generational, I think, I want to think, you know. I think the people like from our era that grew up in the 70s and 80s were, you know, there were groupies, professional groupies. And then there was everybody else. There was like people that liked to go to the rock shows and liked to go see movies. But, you know, like, I don't know. There wasn't the sort of like superstardom that I think our society's transformed into now.
It's funny you say that.
I've always told people that if you were a paparazzi in the 80s Aspen, you would have been a millionaire. But no one took those photos back then. And yeah. I don't want to say paparazzi didn't exist, but
well, Nick,
I don't think it was common.
Nick DeWolf was the paparazzi back then.
Well, but he wasn't selling them to the National Enquirer,
right.
You know.
Totally. Yeah.
His were like selfies.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
yeah.
Like our version of selfies is like, I kind of want this for my own self, right?
Well, when I was doing the book, one of the things I went through is I went through all his photos and I started to realize he didn't model people, he didn't pose, he just captured the time. So his Def Camp picnic pictures are a snapshot of lives. Like you could see that person and you know that person, and you know that person, and that person played baseball and this one was softball. You know, I mean, it was like you could see all those people, and it was like he just captured the time shot of all of our lives. And it was so interesting to walk through that because nothing's really posed, yet it's really kind of a lot of interesting photos of people. You know what I mean? And I felt like that was one thing that kind of gave me a little bit, like I always felt like our lives disappeared. And once that time's gone, there's no going back. But looking at his photos, he captured that time period, which was really interesting for me to walk through, you know, and everybody's asking about, do you have photos and stuff? I'm always like, oh, check out Nick's photos, man. They're great to go look at, you know? And it was interesting. He didn't do it for money. He just did it for himself, you know, just for digitizing photographs, because at that time that was kind of a, you know, it was 1 hour photo was what you did. You know?
The very best reason in my
book. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Thanks for listening. The authors of Growing Up Aspen would like to thank you and would like to also thank the Aspen Times and the Aspen Daily News for giving us materials for our book, Growing Up Aspen, Adventures of the Unsupervised, which you can get at twistandturnpress.com and any local bookstore. Thanks.